Less than a week after Hurricane Irma roared through the Caribbean and Florida, the scope of the destruction in the aftermath is still coming to light. So far, the death toll stands at 69, with at least 38 dead across the Caribbean and 31 in the United States. The Florida Keys bore the brunt of the storm as it made landfall in the United States. Recovery is now underway, but it's a daunting job. The highway from the mainland is now open for the first time since the storm, so supplies are beginning to flow, but communications have been scant, and few people have seen the full extent of the damage firsthand. But Nancy Klinginger has. Nancy is a reporter with WLRN in Miami and a resident of the Florida Keys, and she told us how her experience riding out the storm affected her and the people around her.
The storm itself was scary in some ways, although not quite as scary as I might have expected for being that close to the center of a Category 4 hurricane. The building I was in is very solid, concrete, on high ground. We could hear the wind, but you couldn't really feel it besides the occasional gusts. And the water didn't come up to where we were. So it was not as scary as you might have expected, but it was scary enough.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that. And it makes me want to ask you about the moment once the storm passed that you opened the door and walked outside.
We walked out, we saw, you know, some big trees had gone over, a few pieces of roofing tile had been peeled off here and there, but we also saw that the town looked basically intact.
And is that the case during your travels around the Keys with your reporting? What kind of conditions have you seen?
I did go up to Big Pine Key yesterday, and that is sort of ground zero. It was, you know, just to the east of the eye wall. And they did suffer some pretty good damage. They'll be out of power, I imagine, for some time in most of the island. Amazingly enough, most of the structures, like homes and businesses, look intact, at least from the outside. I only saw a few sort of blown apart or blown over structures. But the people there are, you know, they're in a disaster zone. They're dealing with food and water and getting generators to get some electricity and start working on fixing their places up again or just surviving for now.
I know, Nancy, that you've been going down to the local Winn-Dixie supermarket in order to get internet because I think that was the only place in your neighborhood that had it.
I was actually on Big Pine Key yesterday. The Winn-Dixie store there is an amazing story. The store manager was in the store during the storm, and one of the employees had his trailer, his home, blow apart around him during the storm, you know, thought he may well die, and somehow made his way in water to the store. The manager heard him and let him in, and he survived there. They've got the place up and running. It's well-stocked with groceries. It's got AC. And that guy who made his way to the store was there working. It's just amazing. And a lot of people in the community were there, and they have Wi-Fi. It's incredible.
And so it's become this sort of community meeting place because it's the place with the supplies and the place you can send an email.
Right, exactly.
Nancy, you've been reporting on Twitter as well about people that you've been coming across as you travel around the Keys, or at least in your one trip up to Big Pine Key. You talked about Stacy Young and Cherie Pruitt.
Yeah, we were on our way up the Keys yesterday, and on Big Coppet Key, which is about 10 miles from Key West, we saw these two women just walking up the road carrying luggage, you know, dragging roller cases, and we thought, huh, that's weird. So we pulled over and said, where are you going? And they basically said, we're going to the mainland. And we said, you're walking? And they said, yeah, we can't take it in Key West anymore. It's too hot. There's no water. They just wanted out. They had somehow made contact with Young's mother, and she was going to meet them there. And they were on their way out. They had already gotten one ride, and we gave them another one as far as Big Pine Key. And I'm praying that they got more rides along the way.
Nancy, what's the state of policing and presence of authorities around the Keys? At times like this, looting is always a concern. Nobody likes to think it could be part of their community, but it's always a potential part of disaster recovery. And the roads have to stay clear so that all these supply trucks can get in.
Yeah, there's been a lot of rumors, but I would not really want to give those a huge amount of credence. I haven't heard confirmed reports of looting. People are on alert, and there is a very, very heavy police presence. Both our local police, the Monroe County Sheriff's deputies, and I've seen Homestead police and other and police from other municipalities around town. We now have a couple of National Guard units in the islands, both on Big Pine and in Key West, and probably further up the Keys than I've seen. And they are giving out food and water, and I think just generally maintaining security.
So what does the next week look like, do you think, Nancy, as you look around the situation and see people recovering? What's ahead of the community there?
Well, I think the immediate need is to get our water line up and functioning and get our communications back online, because when we can have regular water service and make sure that 911 is operating, then they, I'm sure, will feel much safer about letting people back in. And then it's a matter of clearing up, cleaning up. People who have suffered real losses will need to file with insurance companies and FEMA, make sure they have a secure, safe place to live if they are going to need to rebuild, and generally try to get the economy back and running where we can in places that are relatively intact, like Key West.
You know, you talked to me last week about that island spirit, the thing that drives people to live in the Florida Keys because they don't want mainland life, and I wonder how that's feeling now and how that's surrounding people.
It's definitely come into play. People here are pooling resources, helping each other out. Total strangers help each other out. The morning, or it was probably the early afternoon on Sunday, after we had first gotten into our house, there was a big Royal Poinciana tree that had come down sort of in front of our house, and it was blocking the road. And some guy just pulled up in a Chevy Suburban with a chainsaw and started sawing it up into pieces that you could roll out of the way. So people are doing what they can for whom they can. Anything that people have, they're making sure that others are taken care of as well.
Well, Nancy Klingener, it's very good to talk to you again, not only to get your update, but to know that you and your family are doing just fine. And your eyes and ears and your reporting on the ground are an enormous asset to us. So thank you, and thank you for calling in.
You're welcome, Todd.
Nancy Klingener is a reporter with WLRN in Miami, in the Florida Keys, and a Keys resident.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.